In fact, I'm looking at some faces tonight out of this group, this bigger crowd. There will be some in this congregation that will be in eternity in heaven or hell within 5 years. I want to ask you this. How is it with you? Now, I want you to do this for me. In these series of services, both in the morning and the night, I want you to separate yourself, if you can, for a few moments from the person to your right and the person to your left, and let God deal with you just one-on-one, all right? Not anybody else. Not what Mama thinks, what Dad thinks, what the preacher thinks, what I think, but yourself. How is it with me? Because let me say this. This week, if we are deceived and we leave as we came, judgment will be more severe for you than it would have been had you not even come. How is it with me, Lord? Ask yourself that question not one time, but ask it daily. How is it, Lord, with me? How is it, blessed God, the only one that knows, how is it with me? Tell me, how is it with me? And get your answer from heaven. And you will go home benefited manyfold for having come this way. Now, Brother Bill told you a little bit about where we wanted, what we wanted to deal with, and that's what we shall be doing by the grace of the Lord. In the morning session, Dr. Kimbrell will be addressing us on the doctrinal side of heaven and hell, its essence, its reality. What does God say about these everlasting abodes toward which all of us are heading? You know, that's difficult to believe. Everybody believes they're going to live forever. If they die, it won't be anytime soon. I'm going to die, but it's sure not going to be soon. I talked to a man not long ago, 80 years old. He's going to be saved later. Ask how much later is later for an 80-year-old person. None of us are going to die. None of you here tonight believe you're going to die anytime soon. Oh, I'm going to die, but it won't be soon. Am I right? Not a one of you could stand and say, you know what? I believe I'll be dead in 2 days. Not a one. 5 years, not a one. 80 years, I'd begin to get a few takers. But most of you don't think you're going to die. And that's why so many are in hell. So what we want to be dealing with in these morning sessions are the reality, the surety, the nature, the place, the abode of those who are ransomed and those who are without Christ. Then at night, I want to take some lessons from the Bible, if I might, from five individuals. All five are written up about in the book of Luke. The book of Luke describes individuals who, by other scriptures outside of even the references given in the accounts of these five, give us to know that these five people ended up in heaven and hell. Now, there was a book written some number of years ago called How They Got There. It's a quite interesting book on 20 individuals that made a success of this life or a failure. And in each of the 20 lives, the material centered on the fact how this individual reached success and how others reached failure. So what I want to deal with you this week is how they got there. Five people, heaven, hell. How'd they get there? Look, if I want to go to hell, I'll do just what they did. Those that went to hell, put it down. I'm going to do what they did because I'm going to get there too. Or you say not me. I'll tell you, Brother Gates, God knows. I want to be in glory. Then I will ask you to give much attention to the three we're going to look at that went to heaven, because you'll have to do the same thing. Not in Not that you'll have the same emotional makeup of your experience, nor will you have to have the same experience as these had, but you will have to go their way. Two who went to hell, how did they get there? Three in glory, how'd they get there? Tonight, the first man I want to address you regarding is the man who woke up in time. Because let me say to you this right up front, there are many, many people who die in their sleep. They never awake to the fact, you know what, I am truly lost. There is no hope for me unless I can cast myself upon the Lord and have the Lord in His grace cover me by His mercy and bring me to Himself. There's no hope for me. Many never wake up to that. They sleep in a comatic state. I'm not so bad. I have plenty of time. I am affiliated with this or associated with that. My friends are good people. And die. And not wake up till the Lord says to them, I never knew you. What a time to wake up. Dear God, every one of you here tonight will wake up, some in time, some too late. Now, I'm going to say to you, my people, I know this doesn't burden us too much because we're not quite sure there is a real hell. And we're not quite positive there is a real heaven. But I've got news for you. It is real. It is coming tick by tick of the heart. And we are headed there fast. Some of us faster than others, but all of us will arrive at one of those two places. And that does not scare many of us, but it will. So tonight, the man who woke up in time. May I ask you, even if I could, by show of hands, though I will not, how many of you would rather wake up to the need of a Savior before you die and be saved than wait too late and perish? Well, you say, all of us. Then may God help you. I would say this week, take every opportunity you have. Go to all of the meetings, attend all of the seminars, read all of the devotionals, pack as much attention as you can into the reading of the Scripture, spend time with God, get alone, and say unto Him, Blessed God, do not let me be mistaken. Please tell me the truth about me, God, me. For if you don't, you can have a wonderful time at the beach. And a marvelous time at the teaching sessions, and yet go away like you came. God help us to wake up in time. The 15th chapter of Luke. We're going to read there tonight about the prodigal son, and placing in parenthetically here, I understand that there is some interpretations that would render this prodigal son exactly that, a son. And I'm not going to deal with that at this time. I simply am going to look at it from the viewpoint of an individual who had a father by creation, as all men do, but not a father by grace until he came to the awareness that he desperately needed to go home. The 15th chapter of Luke is about things that are misplaced. Things that we call lost. In the verses 4 through 7, there's the story of the lost sheep out of place. Lost. In the second place, there is the story of the lost coins, verses 8 to 10. You remember the woman lost some of the coins, and they could not be found, and finally were recovered. And then, from the sheep and the coins, we pass to the son. And in that 11th verse, a certain man said Jesus had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and while he was yet a great way off, his father spied him out, saw him, and had compassion, and ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us be merry, eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now there is a story also in that elder brother. We're not going to deal with that tonight because that's another individual that we'll put on hold till we have more time. I want us to think about that thought tonight, the prodigal son who was away from home, and the Bible says literally to himself he came to. He entered actually into his own personality and began to think seriously about the fact, and he said, Look, I'm not in the place I ought to be. I will arise and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before thee, and I'm not worthy. I just simply ask you that you just take me as I am, and please, Father, let me serve you in any capacity you've got for me to serve here on the ranch. And the Bible tells us he was received openly, freely, abundantly, gladly by the wonderful, matchless, marvelous Father, given a place right back there by grace. Now, I want to say to you, how many of you here woke up at one time and said, That's exactly what I'm going to do. Dear God, by your grace, I'm coming as best I know and simply casting myself and saying, I am unworthy of the least of your treasure. God, I know it. But Father, please receive me and make me one of your own. Save me, I pray. Hadn't you? Do you realize how few have done that? Many have said, I will join the church. I will turn over a new. I will do my best. I will try. I will become a part of the religious assembly. But they've never come to an awakening of the fact, I'm a breath away from hell. And if I died tonight, I'd perish. Oh, God help us to see it. Now I want us tonight then to think together for a few moments about coming to. And I want to pose some questions for you. I want to stretch it out, but I want to pose six questions to you. And I would have you ask yourself these questions just as personally as you can personally ask questions to yourself. Come to grips with this, if you would you? But before we do, I'm going to ask that we might just bow our heads and talk to God in prayer. Father, we love thee tonight and praise thee. Thank you for doing all that you've done. Thank you for these young people. God, I know they've come from many places. The counselors have come. Pastors have come. And Father, we know tonight that this week is going to matter only as you move in on us. It'll not be our doing. It is by the grace of the wonderful Lord. So speak to us. Help us to hear. Let us know where we are. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now tonight I want us to see that. In fact, I want us to major on that one thought. Though there are many truths to which the Lord would be gracious to awaken us in regard to our need for a Savior. Many areas. But the one I want to fasten fast to tonight is this: where are you? And I would put it this way. You could ask yourself the question. First of all, first question, where am I? Am I in the far country or with the Father? Am I away from the Father or with the Father? Now, in what we read tonight, the Bible says the prodigal son took that which his father had given him and went into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So he was away. And so many of us tonight in this fellowship, this meeting, this assembly, would have to say, so far as I know, I am away from the Father. I do not have a personal relationship with him. I have not savingly come to him. I have not been gripped by his grace, and he's not mine and I'm not his. And let me say to you tonight, I cannot imagine a worse thing in the world to think and to know and to consider than the fact that I am away from God. Away. Oh, I've got so much. In fact, I've got everything, but I just don't have God. Oh, my. Oh, I've got fun. I've got friends. I've got frolic. But to tell you the truth, I don't have a relationship with God that thrills. That's why it's so hard to get me excited over worship. I go because I have to. I can read the Bible and I don't get any sense out of it. What we're saying again and again, and I realize you can come to that even as a saved person, but where it all starts is the realization that I've got to come to an awareness of the fact that it all starts when I see up to this, I am away from the Father. I am not his. I don't belong to him. Let me read you from the book of Ephesians, a passage of scripture that addresses this, I think, in such a, to me at least, a frightening way to my own heart. In Ephesians chapter 2, when he speaks about us being dead in trespasses and sins, it says in verse 12, Paul goes on to express this deadness, and he comes to it in this climax. At that time, ye were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. At one time, that was me. I joined a church. I'd been baptized. I didn't know what was meant, but I was without God. Nothing worked. And it seemed instead of getting better, it was getting worse. And it's what the Bible calls being lost. You're born without God, and as you progress down through the ages of your days, the years of your days, you get farther and farther and farther seemingly away from the Lord, and it gets easier and easier to get stuck in sort of a indifferent state. Oh, there are temporary arousals when somebody maybe preaches a sermon with a lot of good illustrations, but I just come back to what I was. I'm away from God. Lord, please, maybe this week, if it could be in your hand and grace, graciously in your hand, would you please wake some of us up to the fact that like the prodigal son, I'm in the far country. I'm not even here. Oh, I go to this and go to that. I sing songs, read the Bible even, but I am in the far country. Now, let me show you. If I wake up, if God would wake me up, there I could come home. I could say, listen, God, I know I'm lost. And just as I am, God, I'm coming to you now. Wouldn't that be glorious to wake up like that? Because if you don't, listen to me, people, please. These words come loud and clear. Do you believe this? Do you believe this Bible is no doubt about it's true? It's just as true as it could be. Well, in this Bible, hear this. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, vocabularies, proper pronunciation, use of names. Oh, God knows our religious jargon is proper. Lord. Many of us this week will use words like that. Lord, Jesus. Doesn't mean a thing. It's just expressions of the lips, not the heart. They will say in that day, Lord, Lord. Did we not actively engage ourselves in many religious activities, preached, cast out demons, did many wonderful works? And then Jesus will say to them what? I never knew. What a time to wake up. Wait a minute, Lord. Never. Now what? Depart from me. In other words, you were in the far country down here in Texas and Louisiana and Georgia and Mississippi and South Carolina. You were in the far country there. Now you will be in the far country for all eternal ages. World without you. You lived without me there. Now you're going to exist without me through the endless ages of eternity. What a time to wake up. God help all of you. If you are in the far country, please, may God wake you up this week. Go to every session. Listen closely. Don't assume. Listen. Beg. God, please. God, wake me up in time if I'm not there. I'm asking, how many of you realize what it means to be in a far country? How many of you at one time were waked up to the fact that there you were, Christless and doomed and lost and under the wrath of a holy God? And how many of you said, God, I'm not talking about weeping, but your heart was filled with tears and you came straightway to the cross of Christ and closed with Christ and came home. How many of you woke up? God, wake us up, please, this week. All the far country folks, please, God. Some of them came with us in our church buses. God, wake us up. Some came in cars. Wake them up, God. Because they're just as comfortable as they can be in the far country, in the pig pen with the pigs. They're comfortable, totally comfortable. God, wake them. Because they will be waked in time. But that's the second question I want to ask you. Not only must I say, am I or am I not in the far country? I want you to personalize it for yourself. Please put your name on it if you can. I use an I because I don't have your name. But make it just as personal as your name. Second question. Am I? Or am I not throwing away my life? What do I mean by that? Just exactly what happened to this man in Luke 15. He went into the far country, and the Bible says there he wasted his substance with riotous living. It's that word waste. It grabs my attention right off the top because it was a very picturesque depiction of how you sowed seed. You know, you carry the seed bag on your shoulder, and you do what they call broadcasting the seed, hurling it, hoping that some would fall upon the good ground. Broadcasting seed. That's the word used for this boy's life. He went out and just threw his life away, tossed it. No time for God. Do you know how many have you have since you this last a week ago, you have thrown 7 more days? I'm having a ball. Tossing life away like scattering seeds. That's amazing. Do you realize how many people are doing that and are doing it with a smile? It is well. Boy, I am really enjoying myself. Throwing life away. Tossing it here and there without any thought of the repercussions. Without any thought about eternity, heaven and hell, and dying and the great day of judgment. Just hurling it to the wind. Oh God, I pray that you will do for us what you did for that man in waking him up to the fact that he had with abandon tossed his whole existence into the gutter. To be lost is to live life with no concern for eternity. To be lost is to neglect God's mercy in common grace. Oh, God's grace poured upon us like showers from on high. We just, in the midst of the downpour of mercy, we just toss our life away. Another day lost. Another week lost. Another sermon I passed through lost. Wonderful. Drippings of mercy all around us. To whom much is given, much will be required. Bring me some more fun, Lord, while I live another day without a Savior, another night without a King. Trample underfoot again the blood of Christ who died to open to me the gates of glory. Toss it. How many people do you know die still tossing on their hospital beds, their life away? They never wake up. He came to himself and he said, it's enough. It's over. No more. I'm going home. Now let me say to you people, again, may God help you this week. As you assemble in these, ask the question, what am I doing with my life? Is my life given full strength to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is my life being spent in the center of His will? Have I come to the place where I've surrendered all to Jesus and given Him my mind, my emotion, my will, my life? Take it, Lord. Spend it to the glory of Your name. Have I done that? Ask. Don't let the week go by just, well, that's nice. It's been, no, ask, what am I doing? Throwing life around. He wasted his substance righteously. If not, if we go on spending God's gifts of generous provisions, squandering the opportunities He gives us to enter the door of the ark of grace, if we continue to turn from the appeals of the Spirit and the warnings of the Word and the admonitions of our conscience, come now, come. If we keep trampling those down and tossing our life, we must one day go to that place where we shall arise and awake to the fact, not only have we squandered our life, but now we have squandered our eternity. The Bible calls hell Gehenna. The burning dumping grounds outside the city of Jerusalem, where they would take even corpses out and let the fires burn away the flesh, burn away the bone.
there was the perpetual garbage ground outside the city. Oh, to go to that place. Not only to throw away my life here, but to become eternal garbage, so to speak, lost in it. In the garbage of eternity. To wake up too late. God help us. I'll tell you what, let me tell you something right parenthetically, young people. If I was going to hell, I'd want to go saying, you know what? I choose hell. I'm going there. I understand hell's an eternal flame. I understand that I'll dwell forever in the wrath of a holy God. I understand I will never be in the presence of God again. I understand that. And on the basis of that, I stake my claim in hell. I'd rather do that than to go to sleep and perish and never wake up here to the fact I was going there. God help me. Lord, this week, these way here, all across here, he came to himself. Where are you? Far country? With him. Where are you? Tossing life away? Another day. For some of you, since you got here, you've tossed some more life away. Oh, you had a great ball. Wasn't it fun today? Another day. You'll never get it back. God help us to wake up. But a third question. I'd want you to put before yourself, and oh, it came home to this man. We read this, after having wasted his substance in riotous living, listen to what the Bible says. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. The question I'm posing and asking that you pose to yourself, am I or am I not living in spiritual famine? How about that? Am I or am I not living in spiritual famine? There was a severe famine and it was growing worse as time progressed. Not getting any better. Let me ask you this. How's your famine going? I mean by that, ask yourself, am I living off rich spiritual resources, or is my cupboard bare? I'm not talking about what kind of good car you drive. I'm not even talking about if you drive an old car, middle car, new middle car, or a 1930 car. What I'm asking is, how are your spiritual resources? How are you able to make contact with heaven? Or do you just spit out words and call it prayer? Are you living in famine? How's worship? Boring? I managed to make it. Or is it worshiping God in spirit and in truth because you're not living in famine but in spiritual resources? Listen, wouldn't it be great if God would wake some of us up this week to say, look, didn't Jesus say, I've come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. Question I'd ask myself. Gates, how about you? Do you have life abundantly? Do you have trouble going to bed at night because you're so excited about the lily of the valley and the bright morning star? Do you read the Bible and sometimes tears roll down your old eyes on the pages as you think, depth of mercy? Look what God's done for me. Is that your case? Or do you just go through the scriptures and say, well, glad that reading's done. We've got that devotion. We had to do it. Brother Bill said we had to. How are you doing? Let me tell you this. You may not pose the question to God this week, how am I doing? But I believe that honestly, you'll know at the end of the week whether or not you're living in famine or there's truth in your heart and the spiritual resources you have are depicted by the word of Christ when he said, I come that you might have abundant life. How is it? I read in the John, the 4th chapter, what Christ had to say about living in a famine land when you have water all about you, so to speak. Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well, you remember, and he said to her, "Lady, if you only knew the gift of God, you would ask of Christ, and he would give thee living water." Who's he talking to? He was talking to a thirsty woman that wasn't quite aware of what was wrong with her. And Jesus said this, "Listen, lady, here you are at this physical well. Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again," said Christ. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give, it shall be in him a well of water leaping up into eternal life." Now, which of those two describe you? How many of you have that leaping well within? Well, now, listen, preacher, I've been in the church. I was baptized as a junior. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm asking you this. I didn't ask you, are you a member on the card in the baptistry, one of the leaders in the youth group? I'm asking you this. Is there within you a pretty good, could you say, you know how I feel? I feel like I have a well of leaping water. You know, this old dry world at high school where I go, those kids, they're seeking to satisfy their thirst with sex and liquor and drugs. But praise God, I don't need it. I've got living water. Living water. Let me say to you, you're living in a generation, there's never been as many people living in famine as the kids in your age group. They're everywhere, searching through the sand, looking desperately for something that'll satisfy. And Jesus said, whoever goes down into this well will drink seawater like out here at the ocean. You go out there, you can be as thirsty as you are. You go out there and drink that seawater, I promise you, it will not pacify your thirst, but it will intensify your thirst, and in time it will kill you. And Jesus said, there's all about you oceans of seawater the world offers you, cup after cup. Try it here. Try this. And the thirst gets deeper and deeper. And some kid, the only thing they know to do is to take a pistol and blow their brains out to try to find peace. Famine. Living in famine. What if he died that way? Wouldn't it be fun to live in famine and then go out into eternity and dwell in an everlasting famine? Boy, God have mercy. To not just be thirsty here, but to be like the old boy in Luke 16 who cried, "I'm thirsty in this flame." He wasn't thirsty for water. He was thirsty for his soul to make contact with the living water, but it's too late for him. He died in famine, and now he will be in famine 10 billion times 10 billion, and on and on. Never to break out of the famine. Thank God this one woke up in time. He said, "I've had it. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to my Father's house. He's got tables full. I choose the tables instead of the hog pen here. I'm going home now." Oh, God, wake us up. Are you living in famine or not? I must hurry. A fourth question I come to pose before you tonight. It is this, taken again from the text. Living there in the famine, finding no peace, no rest to his heart, he went and joined himself, it says in verse 15, to a citizen of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed swine. What a job. Joined himself to a fellow citizen. And the fellow citizen put him out there to work caring for the hogs. For the hogs. So I guess the question I'm asking you tonight is, Are you or are you not working for the wrong master? All of us got a master. That simple. Oh, tonight, if time permitted and we had no concern about the hour of 9, we'd just go on about Romans 6 being slaves of sin. The Bible says whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you will do. In other words, you're just following a master called Satan, and you're willing to follow and pleased to follow. And he says again, the desires of your father, not just you will do it, but you want to. It's the word fellow, which means desire. The devil says, come on. And you know what? I want to. Yeah, I'm coming. You can get away with it. And my heart pants to do it. I'm not a slave that drags into sin. I'm a slave that gladly is pointed into it. Come on. Gladly. What a master to serve. Let me ask you, where do you think that'll end up? The wages of sin is what? Death. What a master. What? To be cast into the pits of the damned and outer darkness. The worm doth not and the fire is not quenched. Out there with my master forever. Ever. Oh, God, if I'd have waked up. You will wake up. But for some of you here on my right and some on this second over here, you'll wake up too late. You won't ever wake up here. You won't wake up till Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. And then, too late. Question, are you serving the wrong master? Who are the master possibilities? The Lord or Satan? That's why you cry out, all to Jesus I surrender. Being saved is when you change masters. You and Satan take the, God takes the crown off your head and places it on the head of the Son of God. You acknowledge him as Lord. You don't make him Lord. You acknowledge him. You've always been Lord. You've been Lord of this man and Lord of that Lord. Now I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my master. For rather than the wages of sin, I'd rather have the gift of life in glory. Are you in the far country? Has God graciously shown you that whether or not you're throwing your life away? Has the famine where you're living? And what master is truly your master? Not the master you think you are to say. Oh, I know my... No. It's not the master you call with your mouth. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, said Jesus? And do not the things which I say. Don't call me Lord. I'm not your Lord. Who is your Lord? God, let me know who you're... I want to know the truth. I don't want to think you're Lord and be led straight to hell by the one who really is my Lord. Oh, God, no. Lord, wake me up. A fifth question. The Bible says, this my son, as he comes home, and the father rejoices with him and said, this my son was dead, but he's been quickened. He was dead, verse 24. Again in verse 32, the same statement. He was dead. Are you dead spiritually? Are you not dead spiritually? Huh? What about it? All of the questions put under the table, right in the dead center of it, is this. Are you or are you not spiritually dead? What thrills you most? What are you alive to? What thrills you more than any other thing in this whole world? Are you alive to God? When you sense the presence of the Lord, does your soul leap within you? When you hear the name of Jesus mentioned, does something stir within your heart? When you hear people curse him at school or joke about it, does something inside of you break and burn and cry out, "Oh God, if they only knew you"? Are you alive to God or alive to sin? Which would you rather do? Follow him or live some kind of life like you want to? What's really got hold of you? Now, I'm not asking you to answer me. I'm asking you to answer yourself. Where am I alive or not? Again, the Bible says in 1 John 5:11-12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. I guess the question is, and do I have the Son? If I have the Son, I have what? Life. What if I don't have the Son? What if I've got everything but preacher? Daddy's a deacon. Got badges, number of Sunday school years. He that hath not the Son will perish. Now, if I could just wake up, and if I don't, I'll go out to what's called the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, Revelation 20:15, was cast into the lake of fire. And this is what? The second death. Suppose I never... life than when we first began. Oh. God, wake us up. I guess I think in my own heart, when I was some of your age, I was a senior in high school when God waked me up. Played football, played baseball. Got baptized. Sat on the pew, had the preacher tell me what a good little boy I was. I went to hear a man preach that I don't even agree with his theology always, Billy Graham, when he was a young preacher. Preach with such power from on high. I was sitting in the State Fair Stadium out on the fairgrounds in Shreveport, Louisiana, and bless God, that night, sitting there, never walked forward, never talked to a counselor. God, right there. You're lost. Without a Savior. And as the choir sang, you know those invitation numbers that tried to get people to come, I didn't go for it. I cried there in the seat. God! It happened right there. Cried out for mercy. Repented as best I knew how. Didn't even know what repentance meant, but I knew this. I'd rather have Jesus than the best sin going. God, all of a sudden, like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, the burden fell from off my back, and it rolled and rolled and rolled till it came to the empty tomb. I saw it no more forever. How do you stand? Are you alive spiritually? My last question. Then pray. My son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost. Now he's found. Question. Posing this week as I go to all of these classes, as I'll go tonight, we'll sit around talking. Good question. Am I lost or not? Not Look, could we talk about my friend here? I believe she or he is lost. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you. I'm asking, this night as you sit around, wouldn't it be good if you could say to God, God, I want to know the truth. Am I or am I not lost? Please, don't let me wait to find out when I'm lost without ever being found forever. I don't want to come to doubts, and I don't want any of you to come to doubts, but I do want this. If God has truly done a work of grace in your heart, questioning yourself, probing your heart, will never shake your confidence, but reinforce your certainty that God has done a work of grace in your heart. Am I or am I not lost? Well, where are you? My son was lost, but now he's found. Which of those, what condition are you? Lost or found? When were you found? What cause do you have to believe you are found? Could you take a sheet of paper and say, six reasons from the scriptures why I know I've been found? Not for how I feel, not what my teacher says, six. Six reasons from the scripture why I know I'm found. Could you? The Bible says the truth will set you free. Because listen to me, folks. If I don't wake up to the fact like this guy did that I am lost, I will die that way. And then the scripture says, words like these that scare me. He will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. That word everlasting destruction, the word destruction means to lose any reason for being. It's not an idea of annihilation. You're not going to be everlasting annihilated. What he's saying is, you will lose every purpose for your existence. Lost forever. You had some purpose here, but there, all purposes are gone. Never again will I have a purpose that will be worth having. Lord, please. I would rather have all of my front teeth knocked out, if that's what it takes to wake me up, rather than go with all teeth into hell. God. In fact, you said it would be better to have one hand cut off, if that's what it takes, than to perish in the flame. Oh, God. If that's what it takes to get me awake, if you've got to cut my hand off, I'm promising you, Lord, I'm as best I know my heart, I'd rather go to heaven with one hand than to hell with two. God, wake me up. Please, Lord, I live in a day when so many are asleep. Everybody's confident. Everybody's for having fun. Let the circus roll. God. He came to himself in time, thank God. Now, when he did, listen to me, folks, before we go. He did three things. He purposed to go home. And I pray this week you'll do that. He said, I will arise. Listen, I will do it. I will arise, and I'm going home. If God has done awakening work in you, please let me urge you to purpose this week. Not, when I get home, I'm going to go talk to my pastor. No, I have nothing against your pastor, but I am saying this. Purpose while you have life to arise and go home. Now, somebody tell me, if you know the scripture, what is the God's accepted time? Next week? No. When? Today. I will arise today, tonight. The first night of camp, I will. I've had it. I'm not going to gamble anymore. You know what I've done? I've gambled. I've thrown life. I've gambled that I'll have another day. I'm finished. I'm not. Tonight, some will die. Do you know that in the world, every second a person dies? In one day, 86,000 people die. In a year, 30 million. Now, what's the possibility you could be in that number? God, I will arise. I will wait. I will! I don't care what anybody, I don't care if there's anybody else in this camp, Lord, that will arise. You know what? Let them go as they will. I pray many. Oh, God, I pray several will come. But if not, I will arise. I will come. I'm going to talk to somebody before this week. I'm going to find a counselor. I'm going to talk to my counselor. I'm going to talk to Bill. Talk to Brother Care. Talk to Brother. I'm going to find somebody. Listen. I will. Resolve. Second. Get up and do it. It said, I will arise and go to my father. What does the next verse said? And he arose and came to his father. He didn't just say, you know, I'm going to sit here and make a decision. No, he said, listen, I tell you what, I'm going to get this thing done. I'm not going to wait. And he got up and did just exactly what he said by the grace of God. And I know this is all under grace. I'm well aware of that, but I do not lay it off on sovereignty of anything else, brother. You must budge out of the pen. You must come. You must flee. You must race to the ark while the door is open. Come, weary sinner. Come while you may. Come. Come. I will come to Jesus. Get up and do it. And lastly, he resolved. He did it. And third, he spoke. I have sinned. Tell God. Just tell him. Look, you don't need people. You just need the Father. Tell him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. If you get me to heaven, Lord, I'll tell you one thing. It'll be because you've got an unworthy person. You'll never get... Listen, the way I've lived, I have neglected. I'm not worthy. But I ask this. God, have mercy. Let me be one of your own. And you've got a God of grace and mercy. You don't have to have a God that you have to plead several days to get his smile. The Bible says the father came out and hugged the boy. Literally kissed him to his knees. Dropped him down. And smothered him in mercy. And threw a big party spiritually for his coming home son. I tell you, you know what? I'd rather end up that way anytime than end up in the arms and the embrace of the angel of the pit called Satan. Well, here's what I'm asking you this week. Listen closely. Listen as though by Friday afternoon you were going to be dead. Listen closely. Listen, every class. Go in the morning at the seminars. Listen. Oh, God, I've got just a Friday. Listen. Devotions in the morning, alone, out near the sea, or in your room, or wherever you are. God, oh, Lord, I just have to Friday. Please speak to me. As you come to the session, Brother Carey will be speaking. Please. Don't just enjoy it. Listen. Devotions, listen. Counseling, listen. Secondly, think. How is it with me? My people, we don't do much thinking anymore. Think. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Lord, I'd like something to touch me. Could you give us a long invitation with a bunch of stories? No, sir. Think. Just think. Think. God, how is it with me? What if I did die Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning? Where will I go? How is it with my soul? And then lastly, pray. All week long, pray. Oh, Spirit of God. Whether you're saved or lost, pray, God. You know, even as a Christian, there's some areas I know I'm asleep. You know, I've just kind of I've just kind of been out there on that sea on my float, and I feel I'm sort of floating away from your will. God, tell me where I am. Check my location. I'm afraid I'm getting cold in my heart. Pray. Take with you words, says Hosea, and speak to the Lord. Listen. Pray. Think. God, wake us up this week. For some of us, it'll be this week or never. Let's go to God. Lord, we come to you tonight. How weak I feel. How sorry I know I try to proclaim your word. But God, what this preacher cannot do, what the teachers cannot accomplish, what Brother Carey cannot produce, you must do. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. While our heads are bowed tonight in prayer, I'm going to ask you not to raise a hand or come forward. I'm going to ask you to talk to God just a moment on your own, would you? Isolate yourself from the friend to the right and left. And pose to the Lord from your heart, if you can, this one question. God, please this week, wake me up by your grace and tell me the truth about myself.